The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
On a certain level, if just as a layperson, you hear this, and it doesn't sound good. There's a guy whose name is John Robinson Walker. He gets $3 million from a Chinese space company and proceeds to wire it out to a bunch of people named Biden, one of whom is Hunter Biden. Another one is a company that belongs to the president's brother, James Biden, and another amount of money to Beau Biden's widow, Hallie. So, again, from a layperson, that doesn't look good. Is it damaging legally?
Well, it's very odd that this would come out just the very next day after I revealed bank records, which showed that the Biden family, the president in particular, hasn't been truthful with respect to his family receiving payments directly from the Chinese Communist Party.
Accused that perhaps Biden is behind this because Biden has something to gain if, in fact, the president is indicted, because he is his biggest enemy. It's his biggest challenger when it comes to the presidential election in 2024.
Do you think there's a coincidence that as soon as James Comer comes out and exposes those bank records, that suddenly Trump is going to be indicted?
Isn't it amazing that the media, they're hyperventilating all weekend over these trumped up charges against the bad orange man for what was it? A private settlement, giving his own money, his own cash to his lawyer to make the Stormy Daniels thing go away. Happens all the time. Happens all the time in government. Happens in Hollywood. Who knows what sort of behavior was going on 17 years ago morally. But the transaction to turn that private legal settlement into somehow into a campaign financing violation. That's what this crazy lunatic, a prosecutor in New York, is trying to do with Donald Trump. Meanwhile, you've got this going on with the Biden crime family, receiving payments from the CCP. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on our first show of the week. It's already Monday morning. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com to get to the live stream of this show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. I'm not sure if the UK has come through their daylight savings time yet or not. So we may be 5 or 6 hours apart at the moment in the UK, in Europe. But again, TrumpetDaily.com. You can also get to the live, or rather the podcasts that are posted after the fact as well. This is from the New York Post, Miranda Devine. She makes the point here that if these Democrats, and really it's more than Democrats, it's the Uniparty, if they really just wanted Donald Trump to go away, they'd stop persecuting him. They'd stop trying to destroy him. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Who was it? David Plouffe, I think it was, the Obama campaign guy, who said it's not enough to defeat him. We've got to destroy him. We've got to destroy his movement. They talk sometimes as if, hey, just let him. Remember what happened after the midterms? It's over. All things Trump. It's over because, well, there was no red wave and it's Trump's fault. So nobody likes him. He's just going to fade away. He's just going to drift away. Well, now there's this. They know. They know it's his party. The Republican Party is his. So now they come up with these charges, trying to take this whatever state statute that's just a misdemeanor, and then say, well, somehow there's a federal law in place here for the campaign violations, and we can get him on that. Maybe we can put him to prison then. You know, let's talk about campaign violations. This is on Barack Obama, the dear leader. Barack Obama's presidential campaign has been fined $375,000 by the FEC for violating federal disclosure laws. It says here he's fined big. This is the headline. Fined big for hiding donors and keeping illegal donations. He just kept it to himself. He didn't turn it back. He kept the illegal donations. And then the FEC comes along later. I forget how many years later, but they find him. That's how you typically handle a campaign finance violation. And then what just makes your head explode almost is the fact that Trump, in the lead up to his election in 2016, he financed his own campaign. He used his own money. So they take the hush money to Stormy Daniels to make her go away, to not embarrass. He didn't want to see his wife get embarrassed, Melania, with all of this or that. They reported it all the time, nonstop. Who can forget? Avenatti. I mean, just out there constantly. Now he's in prison. These are the people. He was supposed to be the next coming of FDR. The things that they do to Donald Trump. Move ahead to clip two. This is from his Davenport speech just a week ago. Listen to what Donald Trump said about his persecutors. Clip two.
But every step of the way, we will be opposed by the corrupt warmongers and neocons and globalists and communists and all of the other menacing forces that have been trying to take us down with hoaxes and witch hunts. And they've been trying to do anything they can to stop us. It's called Make America Great Again. You know, MAGA. They'd say MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. They hate to use what it means. The term is simple. It's Make America Great Again. There's nothing wrong with it.
He represents the greatest threat to their radical transformation here in the United States. And so he's a bigger enemy to the radical left than Vladimir Putin, than Russia even. You've got to go after and destroy Donald Trump. And then meanwhile, these people guilty of the very things they're accusing him of. This is from the AP. The Clinton campaign hired Perkins Coie, which then hired Fusion GPS, a research and intelligence firm, to conduct opposition research on Republican candidate Donald Trump's ties to Russia. But on FEC forms, the Clinton campaign classified the spending as legal services. That was illegal. That was you talk about campaign to use the finances to create this fake hoax of a dossier. That's right. That's what Clinton got away with. Did they ever arrest her? Did they ever put her in shackles and chains? Did they ever go after her to get a mugshot? The AP says DNC Clinton campaign agreed to steal dossier funding fine. Yeah, just slap him on the wrist, give him a little bit of a fine for actual campaign financing violations, whether it's her or Obama. And then Trump, who finances his own campaign. And this radical, who's in the office, he's in New York, by the way, forget his name, $1 million. He took $1 million from George Soros. You wonder how much financing trouble he got into to try to win his race. Well, that's a lot of money from Soros. So Soros is, he's obviously one of the most famous left-wingers there is. It's a political hit job is what it is. And it knows no bounds. It's like Mr. Trump said last week in Davenport, this is what we're going up against. Miranda Devine's piece, she says, maybe they are so blinded by hatred that they can't see that every time they use the heavy hand of the law against the former president, they just cement his status as a MAGA martyr. This is only going to help him. You saw, no doubt, several tweets over the weekend saying that if they actually do arrest Donald Trump, and there's some reports suggesting that that won't happen, there's another witness that's coming out this afternoon or testifying this afternoon before they then issue an indictment, if in fact that's coming. But the world reacting to this, the talking heads that know anything about the laws, says here, whether or not Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, that's his name, really is about to arrest Trump this week, as has been reported over trumped up hush money charges relating to a one-time assignation 17 years ago with porn star Stormy Daniels. Friday's leak from the court could not have come at a better time for President Biden. They've been caught. The Biden crime family, the one guy getting $3 million from the CCP and then spreading it out to the Biden family. Hunter, the lover, Jim Biden, Joe Biden, the big guy, he's got to get his cut. It's all been exposed. And yet to listen to the talking heads over the weekend just gleefully announce that Trump's about to get, he's about to get arrested. I mean, you heard in the opening there, even CNN had to report it. But the way it's reported, I mean, to the layperson, it kind of sounds like a big deal for the Bidens to be getting money from this Chinese energy company. But are they in any kind of legal trouble? That's how the commentator handles it. But then Trump, well, you know how the tone changes with him. It says the story that the first former president in American history would be charged with a crime, fingerprinted, put in a holding cell, and maybe even perp walked to humiliate him before the world is a dream come true for salivating Trump haters. But more significantly, the story took the spotlight off the bombshell bank records released the previous day by the House Oversight Committee showing $1,065,000 had been funneled, listen, funneled from a Chinese energy company through Biden intimate Rob Walker to four immediate family members of Joe Biden, his son, brother James, and Hallie Biden, the widow of his late son, Beau, who also is Hunter's former lover. So they're all on the take, all of them. What services did they provide to this Chinese energy company? No wonder they go on and on and on about Russia. If there was news released last week that one of Trump's associates got $1 million from Vladimir Putin, and then it was spread out to Donald Trump, Don Jr., Eric, the whole family got a take. What do you think Jake Tapper would do with that? I mean, it would be wall-to-wall coverage, for sure. Just like the possibility that he's going to be arrested tomorrow. I mean, they are excited. Listen to these talking heads go on and on about the mere possibility that he's going to be arrested on these, as Miranda says, these trumped-up charges. Excuse the pun. This is number 10.
As I travel around the country, people are asking me, when is he going to be arrested and indicted? Is he above the law? Hasn't he done enough so that the American people can have faith and confidence that the law applies to him also? Most people have never seen or believed what we would have a president who has acted in the way that he has, who has disrespected the Constitution of the United States of America.
That he is willing to use the threat of violence as part of his political strategy, where you have Trump, the leader of a political movement, who is routinely willing to raise the specter of violence as a way of advancing his goals.
The last time Donald Trump called for his supporters to rally, it resulted in an insurrection at the Capitol. Does he have any concern about violence?
No. Donald Trump told his followers to, quote, take back our nation.
And it's notable to me that he did not say you should protest peacefully.
He's talking about civil war.
He's attempting to organize his domestic terrorists, the domestic terrorists.
This is not the United States of Trumpistan, as much as Donald Trump would like it to be. It is still the United States of America. And we have a rule of law here. We have a constitution that we are supposed to uphold. This is who they are. And you have a stochastic domestic terrorist in Donald Trump out here about to stoke violence again because he is a criminal, not getting his way.
He does not deserve not to be arrested.
So he's the second coming of Hitler, and this is the charge they get him on? Handling a private financial matter legally? That's what they get him on? If he's a domestic terrorist, then get him on terrorism. They can't do it. So they've got to really manipulate the law, just like Alvin Bragg has done. Combine a state statute with some kind of federal financing law, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you go from misdemeanor to felon. Then we've got the felony. Now we can get him in prison. Now we can put him behind bars. This Miranda Devine piece says here, also listed as a recipient of the Chinese money. Again, let's talk about financial transactions. This is happening right after Biden left office, as the Chinese were happy to pay him off for all of the influence they were able to purchase through the Obama years. also listed as a recipient of the Chinese money, which was doled out to four Bidens in regular small increments between March 6th and May 18th, 2017. This was just a few years ago. It says, was an as-yet-identified family member listed only on bank wires as Biden. That was only revealed just last week. You would think there'd be wall-to-wall coverage. You know there would be if it had to do with Trump and his family. Greg Price, he tweeted out about that Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg. Not a lot to brag about there, by the way. It says here, in 2022, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg reduced 52% of all felony charges to a misdemeanor. Now he's elevating a misdemeanor to a felony that the feds refused to prosecute to indict President Trump. Criminals roam. In other words, this DA comes in and he lets the actual criminals, he lets them go. He downgrades their crimes from felony to misdemeanor, even as he works to upgrade a misdemeanor to a felony for Trump, his political enemy. This is happening in the United States. Criminals roam free, as this tweet says. Political opponents go to jail. This is your third world country. Now, again, as they've been doing in recent months, the Democrats may have overplayed their hand. Obviously, this is a far-left prosecutor. He's funded by the far-left George Soros. Everybody with any kind of a legal mind knows how bogus and ridiculous these charges are. And yet they keep going on and on after him, persecuting this man that would dare stand up to him. John Fredericks, he tweeted, the leaked indictment and coming politically motivated arrest of President Trump on phony, nonsensical charges by the communists, that's right, the communists who masquerade as Democrats, will plunge our nation into third world chaos. Even Kevin McCarthy, he's the House Speaker, he called it an outrageous abuse of power by a radical DA who lets violent criminals walk as he pursues political vengeance against President Trump. All this is going on. And then you hear the talking heads, as I just played for you, go on and on about Donald Trump's reaction. Donald Trump calling for a protest. A protest! Here we go again. Another insurrection. Another violent and deadly insurrection. As if Donald Trump can't say protest. That's embedded into the Constitution, by the way. To peacefully protest, for sure. So Trump says, look, we're losing our country. All of them were calling for protests throughout the Summer of Love. Yeah, get out there. Take a knee with everybody. And then get up and burn stores down. They did it all summer long, just 3 years ago. But if Donald Trump calls for a protest, well, that's another word for violent insurrection. He can't do it. He can't do it. And so McCarthy, to his credit, he has a pretty strong tweet there. Then he has to come out and say, now listen, nobody's calling for violent protest. Well, Donald Trump didn't call for that. And you wonder how many in the MAGA movement would even show up these days. Given the persecution of Trump supporters still going on from January 6th. I read you that piece last week where it says the DOJ is looking to try to put 1,000 more people behind bars. They don't want Trump people, Trump supporters, to protest, to speak their mind. They want them to be blotted out. They want them in jail, and they're putting some of them in jail. For that, as to the legal matter, Matt Gaetz, he's the representative from Florida. Virtually every campaign finance violation involves either spending other people's money illegally, you know, like Clinton did. She said it was just legal fees to Perkins Coie, when in fact she was using that law firm to create the Steele dossier to prove that Trump was a Russian agent. And she gets a little slap on the wrist. Nobody shows up at her house to put her in handcuffs. There's no arrangement between the New York DA and the feds and the Secret Service. And we've got to do this for the cameras. And by the way, why would they announce or leak that it's going to happen 3 days from now? I mean, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But they may have been testing the waters. They may have been wanting to just incite the MAGA movement. You watch the chatter. The feds, I'm sure, were all over social media looking for those domestic terrorists led by Donald Trump. It's hard to believe this is happening in the United States. Third world country, Gates says, or taking money into your campaign that you shouldn't, like Obama did in 2013 or 12, I guess, leading up to that election. So Obama did it. Hillary did it. And now here come the communists saying that Trump did it because he gave money from his own pocket to his lawyer who gave it to Stormy Daniels. And she received it, by the way. She accepted it. And I guess she accepted the stipulations that went with it. You know, go off and keep your mouth shut now. And that didn't even happen. I mean, if anything, you would think Trump's people have a case against that woman. But no, all weekend. Look at how excited Maxine Waters is to finally go after this domestic terrorist. That's what he's doing by calling for a protest. He's trying to stir up domestic terrorism. These people are terrorists themselves. They're fundamentally transforming the United States of America. This represents, this radical leftist Marxist movement, this represents the greatest threat to the United States at the moment, as Donald Trump correctly pointed out just last week. This is clip 9.
Our foreign policy establishment keeps trying to pull the world into conflict with a nuclear-armed Russia based on the lie that Russia represents our greatest threat. But the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's probably, more than anything else, ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. It's the abolition of our national borders. It's the failure to police our own cities. It's the destruction of the rule of law from within. It's the collapse of the nuclear family and fertility rates like nobody can believe is happening. It's the Marxists who would have us become a godless nation worshiping at the altar of race and gender and environment. And it's the globalist class that has made us totally dependent on China and other foreign countries that basically hate us. These globalists want to squander all of America's strength, blood, and treasure, chasing monsters and phantoms overseas while keeping us distracted from the havoc they're creating right here at home. These forces are doing more damage to America than Russia and China could ever have dreamed.
More damage than Russia and China are doing at the moment. And they're doing a lot of damage. These communists at home. You've heard it said here many, many times. The communist infiltration of the United States, it was prophesied. It's in our booklet. He was right. If you don't have a copy of that brochure, you can just call our operators today and request your free copy. The number is 1-866-930-3024. The world is just going up in flames, and they're doing everything that they can to distract you away from the damage that they're causing. We've talked about the ripple effect of the banking system failure, SVP. There's all these articles in the stack these last few days about how that it's a canary in the coal mine. It's a sign of things to come. Is SVP the canary in the coal mine? Over the weekend, you may have heard about Credit Suisse. This is from the Associated Press. Shares of Credit Suisse plunged 60% in early trading Monday after the announcement that the banking giant UBS, I guess that's also a Swiss bank, UBS would buy its troubled rival for almost $3.25 billion in a deal orchestrated by regulators to stave off further market-shaking turmoil in the global banking system. The Western global banking system is at risk of completely imploding. It's, as I said to you on Friday's program, I mean, this is worse than what happened in 2008. They didn't fix the problem back then. They just blew it up, really. They just started printing money. I mean, qualitative or quantitative easing. In other words, just print the dollars. It's about to happen on a global scale. And it's only a matter of time, as I said on Friday's program, before that leads to the sudden emergence of the seventh and final prophesied rise of the Holy Roman Empire coming right out of the heart of Europe. And yet look at all of these distractions. Look at all of these people hyperventilating over the prospect of one man going to jail. They just want to see one man in jail. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says here, I'm just skipping around in some of my pages, sorry. It says here, your bank deposits are safe from bank failures. They aren't safe from inflation. The Biden people, they're out there saying, look, it's not going to come on the shoulders of the taxpayers at all. It's going to be bone-crushing taxation in the form of inflation. It's only going to get worse. It says here, if Monday's rout in bank stocks further spooked uninsured depositors, it was just one more way for the government was working against itself. Sorry. Shareholders had reason to fright as the government suddenly and unilaterally rewrote the terms of their investments. In essence, out of the blue, the risks that large, sophisticated, uninsured depositors had willingly accepted were shifted to bank shareholders and U.S. taxpayers so Joe Biden could have a pleasanter start to his week than otherwise would have been the case. This is talking about how he's basically promising $19 trillion to fix what's wrong with the banking system. You think that's going to fix it? The cure is always worse than the disease with these people, for sure. It says here, the government doesn't actually eliminate failure, it transfers the risk to itself. With enough risk transference, government's own solvency and ability to maintain the value of its currency are placed at risk. It says further on in this piece, look who's making choices to engage in short-term can-kicking exercises like forgiving student loans or guaranteeing bank deposits regardless of size, for that's what last weekend's sweeping $19 trillion implicit bank guarantee was, a short-term choice aimed at helping Mr. Biden's Monday go better. And so they just kick the can down the road a little bit, just like George W. Bush did in 2008, suspending the principles of the free market in order to, as he said, save the free market. They're blowing it up. My father says, this is from the Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet booklet. He says, prophecy indicates that the German-led European Union will soon join forces with Russia, China, and Japan to shut the U.S. out of more and more markets. That's the prophecy in Isaiah 23, the Mart of Nations prophecy. It says here, as the U.S. and Britain become less and less competitive worldwide, unemployment will steadily increase. The fact that the U.S. and Britain have lost control of the world's most strategic sea gates, like Panama, Gibraltar, Suez, Singapore, will make it much easier for foreign powers to choke off these nations' supply lines. I mean, we're seeing that happen already just because of the curses that have set in with all these supply chain crises. My father says this, the U.S. and Britain are going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocs, Europe and Asia, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. It says these nations of Israel are going to be literally besieged, economically frozen out of world trade. All of these problems, I mean, a Joe Obama administration printing off trillions and trillions and trillions. You see Alvin Bragg letting criminals out, roaming the streets of New York, even as he goes after Donald Trump. And this is a story that's not, it's not unique to New York. It's every big city in America. There was this story, I had it in my stack last week for several days, that Walmart's leaving Portland because it's just too dangerous. There's too much violence. I think we have a montage of that if you guys want to play it.
Doors are closing at the only two Portland Walmarts, and hundreds of customers are left finding a new place to shop.
The closing of these Walmarts will have a huge impact on their neighborhoods. It's a closure that will impact hundreds of Portlanders.
I was kind of shocked.
It is a store that we go to for our things like, you know, laundry detergent, trash bags, the essentials.
Walmart is closing its only two Portland locations, leaving many customers who rely on the big box store unsure of where to go next.
What are we going to do?
Walmart says they're closing both Portland locations because they were not meeting financial expectations. But customers wonder if it's shoplifters impacting the store's bottom line.
We got to resolve the shoplifting one way or another if that is simply the problem.
Last week, Fox 12 told you that Walmart is pulling its last two stores out of Portland, and the move is now getting national attention. Yesterday, Governor Greg Abbott tweeted about it, saying in part, quote, "This is what happens when cities refuse to enforce the rule of law. It allows the mob to take over. Businesses can't operate in that environment and people can't live in it."
Especially the last 10 years, it's really gone down here. 5 years ago, each year it keeps going down and down and down. More crime, more garbage, more homeless people, more drugs.
Between January 2022 and 2023, there were 147 burglaries, 634 personal property thefts, 424 car thefts, 53 robberies, and 3 stolen property offenses. Keep in mind, this is just what's been reported to Portland police. Take a look at this U.S. Post Office on the north side of the Eastport Plaza near the Walmart. Every window is broken, with plywood covering the damage, and neighbors say it's been like this for weeks.
Basically going through hell, you know, and we're going through a really sad times that we have no support, no backup.
Happening all over the country. And a Trump indictment, just like Miranda Devine says, it comes at the perfect time. It's a perfect sideshow for all these corrupt actors running places like Portland or like New York or D.C. This is from the New York Post. New York City cops are resigning at record-breaking pace this year as the NYPD's alarming exodus continues, according to new data obtained by the Post. Alarming! They're retiring in droves. It says here the NYPD staffing emergency is approaching the point of no return. The shocking stats show that 239 officers tapped out in January and February, a 36% spike from the 176 who fled in the same period last year. Last year, 176. This year, 239. And then you've got Alvin Bragg coming in saying, hey, let's reduce all of these felonies to misdemeanor charges so that these guys can, these thugs, these criminals can roam the streets. And meanwhile, we'll also get Trump. What a world we're living in. It's an upside down world. I mean, what we're seeing here is a complete and total breakdown of law and order. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Hi, I was once a trans youth, and now I'm a happy 22-year-old trans adult student at New College of Florida. This is my health care.
Ma'am? Okay.
Don't tread on it.
Senator Yarbrough has militarized the Florida GOP into the genital Gestapo. Ron DeSantis wants trans people dead. You are committing genocide.
I grew up in Germany in the aftermath of the Nazis, and what you people are doing is no different. This is transphobic, it is cruel, and you really should be ashamed.
What you are doing by signing this bill is an act of war. The way it is, as it is now, my people will die. And that blood, if you support this bill, will be on your hands.
I'm 12 years old, I'm non-binary. If you pass this bill, many of us will die. I deserve to live as long as all of you. We are humans too.
When I was 2, I wanted to kill myself. By the time I was 15, I attempted to slice my own breasts off.
Lots of mental disease on display in Florida recently as the trans community shows up to protest a law sponsored by Senator Yarbrough. He was mentioned there in one of the statements. Let me just read to you what it says at Fox News. Members of the LGBTQ community called Equality Florida and other left-wing activist groups and Democratic state lawmakers turned out at the Florida Capitol recently to protest GOP-sponsored bills restricting minors' access to sex change therapies and surgeries. So they're basically just saying, you know, you've got to be 18 before you're going to go off and mutilate your body. And we want some parents to have some say in the ones who are young, who are 12, or maybe younger than that. Sponsored by Yarbrough, the bill places restrictions for children under the age of 18 regarding receiving sex reassignment prescriptions and surgeries. And they react to this legislation as if this is a holocaust, another holocaust aimed at 6 million people. Everybody's going to die. As I say, these people are far, far from stable mentally. Are Satan and the demons real? That's the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the magazine, go to our website or call our 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Listen to this clip. This is, I think, the lieutenant governor in Minnesota. This was from last week, clip 8.
When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent.
She was commenting on transgenderism. If the children tell us who they are, a good parent just says, okay, whatever you say, little Johnny, if you want to be little Susie now. This is from Fox News about Kamala Harris's husband. He was slammed online last Wednesday for comparing the rhetoric of parents who spoke out against woke political ideology in schools at school board meetings to the hate espoused by Nazis during the Holocaust. So if you're a parent who's rightfully upset about what schools are doing behind your back, well, you're like a Nazi. It says here, during a discussion with Simone Sanders, the former spokesperson to Imhoff's wife, Vice President Kamala Harris, the second gentleman recounted meeting a Ukrainian Holocaust survivor turned Ukraine war refugee living in Berlin. It says, we need to support refugees. I met one woman who was saved in the Holocaust in Germany, settled in Ukraine, and now is a refugee again back in Berlin, where she originally left as a Jew in the Holocaust, Imhoff recounted. Hate is interconnected. You see it in the discourse in the country right now. You see it in the divide that we have. Just going to school meetings, you see that hate that is out there. We've got to step up and speak out as if they're not speaking out. You just heard from them. All of the crazies lining up to denounce any kind of legislation that would prevent a 7-year-old from mutilating his body. That is some kind of demonic sickness. This is from our Trumpet magazine. Just last year, Disney's Coming for Your Children. You remember that featured on the front cover. It's from July of 2022. It says, they're teaching your child his LGBTs. We must protect them if they are to have a future. They're being indoctrinated. They're being filled with propaganda, these young, impressionable minds. Joel Hilliker writes, society is changing so fast, it's nearly impossible to maintain the appropriate level of godly indignation and anger over the depravity. It says that takes real effort, and that becomes more difficult to sustain over time. See, it's so easy to just kind of go along. Oh, well, here comes another crazy video on Twitter of the transgender saying this or doing this or celebrating this. God says that we need to maintain an appropriate level of godly indignation. These are warped and sick minds. It's going to take a long time in God's coming kingdom, in the wonderful world tomorrow, to re-educate these poor young people in the truth, to get them grounded in the truth about marriage and family, about the roles that God created, the genders, the two genders that God created. Mr. Hilliker says here, we tend to get tired of fighting, but Satan never does. See, that's what this issue is about, the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. You see the one from last July there on your screen. But we can't get tired of fighting against the devil, of resisting against the devil. It says here, and the way the radical left fights these battles shows you how the devil thinks. You don't agree with transgenderism? Too bad. They will teach it to your kindergartner and not even tell you. Push back, and they will insult you, shout at you, bully you online, threaten you. You push back, and you've got Kamala Harris's husband saying you're a Nazi. It says Satan forces people to obey his will. He forces you. Will worship. We've talked about that before. It says here, and he's pushing this toxic brew of iniquity because he wants to destroy human beings. This is why God tells us to hate evil as he does. We've got a serious and sobering responsibility as parents in God's family to push back against this influence, to be filled with God's purpose and plan and power, to remain grounded in it, as I say. Notice this from 2 Timothy. This is 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. It's a perfect description here, these first few verses, of our world today. Paul says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're living in perilous times. Cities going up in flames. Illegals just pouring across the border. All of this filth in entertainment and otherwise that's leading to just the bizarre being treated as normal. Perilous times. We don't realize just how dangerous these days are because it's just so easy to kind of go along and say that, well, I mean, I've seen it before. There's nothing new under the sun. Mr. Armstrong said in Missing Dimension and Sex, since it is a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, it says this fact means only one thing. Civilization, as we know it, is on the way down and out. Who can deny that? Our civilization is on the way down and out unless God intervenes, unless that strong unseen hand shows up. And of course, we know from Matthew 24 that God will intervene right at the last to save us, to save a remnant that can begin the process of being re-educated as soon as God's government is established on this earth. Verse 2 says, for men, again, speaking of this world today, this present evil world, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, There's just no godly purity. There's no character. Boy, we went through the first part of Philippians 2 this morning in class. What an inspiring study that is. About the mind of Christ, just the way that God thinks, the mindset that he has. Paul, they're telling the brethren to come together and to be unified by the truth of God, by the power of God, by the mind of Christ. He said, learn to esteem others even better than yourselves. You don't see the spirit of that love, godly love, in these kinds. They talk a lot, as I said last week, they talk about equality, equity. We just need fairness across the board. And here God is saying, I want you to be equal with me because I'm reproducing myself. I want you to take on the same mind as Jesus Christ. I want for Jesus Christ to live in you, to fill your life. Look at, he humbled himself. He stepped down to flesh. And then if that wasn't a big enough step, as a fleshly human being, as a man, flesh and blood, he then sacrificed his life. He was scourged and beaten. He was crucified. But then that same passage, Philippians 2 says, but look at how highly exalted he is now. He sits at the right hand of God. He's the head of the church. He's about to marry the church. The church is to marry Jesus Christ and to be born into the God family. You talk about equality. Romans 8:17 says, if we suffer together with Christ, then we're going to be glorified together with him. Wow. I mean, just think on that for a moment. Glorified together with Christ? No wonder Paul, at the end of Philippians 1, said, you know, I'm kind of torn. I almost like the idea of just being sealed now. I mean, he wasn't being morbid or anything, but he knew that if he endured to the end of his physical life and remained faithful, that his standing in the kingdom was sure. But he said, you know, it's needful for me to stay around a little bit longer because it helps you, brethren. It's a fantastic study, Philippians 2. If you're interested in just being immersed in the mind of God, we need that because there's a lot of this all around us, what Paul describes here in 2 Timothy 3. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fear, that means without discipline. I mean, just any and every lifestyle, run amok. I mean, Romans 1 is another descriptive passage about the world today, the end of it there, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They despise. If you hold to tradition, if you talk about how good marriage and family is, how the role of a man is God-given and the role of a woman is God. You talk about those things and you become a target. That's right. It's prophesied too. People who just despise those who are good. Isaiah 59 and verse 15, it says, yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. If you depart from evil in this present evil world, you make yourself a prey, a target. The radicals are going to come after you. The mob is going to chase after you. Verse 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Does that describe our world today? I should say it does. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. We put selfish interests and pursuits. We put that ahead of God. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, says, from such turn away. Just turn away from the filth. We don't sometimes understand just how filthy it is. And as Mr. Hilliker said in that article I gave to you, I mean, we need to have a right level of righteous indignation over what is happening to our people. This is from The Federalist about New Zealand. It says, it turns out that at the behest of former Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's government, science classes are to be taught that Maori ways of knowing have equal standing with Western science. Some of the educated elite are also saying that requiring Maori children to read is a form of colonization. That's right. This is what passes for woke education today. This is from the American Mind. It's called The Queering of the American Frontier. It says, if you Google any small town in red, America, in red America, I should say, and the phrase drag brunch, you'll find them everywhere. The plague of low cut top wearing locusts in devouring the Dust Bowl and raiding the ranch lands. It's just like a plague that's spreading. So many of these movements, well, you see all of the bizarre people, the freaks that come out in places like Florida. I mean, it's a red state. It says here, drag is, of course, not what it used to be. The term drag queens no longer refers to jovial, harmless gay men, and we would argue with that, in evening wear, performing what used to be basically to an adult clown, or what used to be an adult clown act. They've been replaced by full-blown transgender women performing raunchy, X-rated strip shows as moms, grandmas, and little kids stuff dollar bills into their leather thongs. This is now happening across red America as well. And there's not as much outrage as there used to be because we're just kind of getting used to it. It's just now passing for normal, I guess. Of course, there have always been strippers, hookers, and dirty movie theaters in every cow town on earth. But this is something new, this author says. They never used to let little kids into regular strip clubs, first of all, and the moms never wanted to bring their kids to regular strip clubs. So the kids didn't want to go there, and then, of course, you had some motherly authority say, no, of course not. I'm going to stay away from that filth. It says here, even the drag brunch craze is new. Drag has officially left its traditional setting of smoking nightclubs and moved out into the daylight for all to see. And then it goes and gives some examples. Helena, Montana. It's right out, small town America. It's just right out there in the open for all the world to see it. What does God say about our nations? In these last days, we declare our sin as Sodom. We declare it. And you hear, my father gave that program. I don't know if I got to that clip last week, but he gave the program after Osama bin Laden's death and commented on, you know, one of his sermons of rebuke for America because of our many sins. Vladimir Putin said it recently as well. And on those points, those madmen are right. Sadly, they're right about the gross immorality in our nations. What we publicize, what we declare openly. It says here, old values have been worn away by TV, by life, the internet, and by the truly decadent cultural admixture we are, all of us, slowly dissolving into. It says here, I coined the term porn servatives. That's conservatives who really aren't that conservative, certainly not morally, to describe the type of person who on paper or in person looks like a good old-fashioned red state conservative, but in practice is living a morally dubious lifestyle, antithetical to anything that resembles conservatism or traditional values. It says, finally, you may see Trump signs on the lawn and even a cross on the wall, but church attendance has fallen away and the kids are either stoned or dealing with baby daddies. That's a lot of truth. That's painful truth. But that is the reality. We had this issue, the modern Romans, just a couple months ago. I plugged this for you last week. I have more information or content from that. Maybe we can get to it on tomorrow's program. But if you aren't subscribing to The Trumpet, make sure you get a free subscription, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to send us feedback, just write us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.